bad reputation if you don't have one yet. Welcome, everyone, to the Maggie Dawn Show. And if you're listening and going, Maggie, you sound terrible, good news. I'm not Maggie. If you've ever called into this show and heard a far too chipper voice say, thank you for calling the Maggie Dawn Show. What's your name and where are you calling from? That's me. And usually I wouldn't talk that much because I am Maggie's producer, Anastasia Esther, filling in for her today because truly, between conferences and busting ankles and getting sick and whatever else is happening, it seems we have run out our good graces with good radio hosts who know what they're doing. So in their stead is me. Hi. Welcome to the show. And if you're already sick of it, let me tell you, if you've also ever listened to this show and enjoyed our music, that's me who picks it, and I have quite a treat for you today. Twice as much music as normal, starting out with Bad Reputation by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and it's only going to get louder and wilder from here. So, what does a producer even do? Is a question that no one has ever asked me. No one has ever wanted to know. But I'll summarize it for you here briefly. My job, largely, and I say this with love, is to mostly listen to old farts. I say this with love. Talking to other old farts about what moves the youth vote right now, right? What is making these youths, these young people, get up off their butts and actually go into their polling place? And it's always weird to watch this happen because you'll just have one old person, again, with love, turn to another old person and say, hey, what do you think is moving the youth vote? And the other one will say something like, I don't know, an electric scooter. I don't mean to call out Dom and Crute quite so harshly at the top of the show, but I mean, they are two balcony seats short of a Muppet Show. That's all I'm going to say. So now that it's my turn, and since no one asked, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, where today's topic is the youth vote with actual youths for once. We are going to talk about what people like me, people my age, are thinking about, which, by the way, I'm 24. And if you're wincing in pain, pulling away from the radio, oh, my God. I haven't had to listen to a 24-year-old since I placed my order at Starbucks this morning. Don't worry. I'm about to turn 25. And from what I understand, at that point, your brain is done developing. So in 6 weeks or so, when I'm done cooking, right, I will exit the 18 to 24 age range and officially not be a youth anymore. So with the time I have left, I want to screen your calls. I want to take your questions. I want to take your texts. You can call us. I can totally do this from memory, right? Hold on. I hear this number enough, you would think I have it memorized. Call or text in at 844-967-2789. Again, that is 844-967-2789. And if you're already on the line and you're wondering, why isn't anyone screening my call? That's because the one who usually screens your call is talking instead of screening them. So I'll screen everyone when we get to the break. So let us actually get into our topic for today, which I said is the youth vote with actual youths. In order to do that, I feel like I have to set up a little bit of background because the question I get the most about young people, people under the age of 25 or even people under the age of 30 right now, the main question I get from people older than us is, why? Why? Why are you like this? Why do you talk like this? Why don't you listen to the things we listen to or watch the things we watched or talk the way we talk? And outside of just the very simple mathematics of one generation getting older makes the younger generation, also get older and change. Outside of that, I think I have to paint a picture for you of what the Gen Z political landscape has been since we were born. All right. So for reference, I was born in late 98. All right. I did about 14 months in the 20th century. Okay. Before we entered the new millennium. And with that in mind, when I tell you that very, very few people my age and certainly no one younger than me, right, remembers 9/11, right? Why does that matter? That feels like such a random piece of history to bring up. Well, I bring it up because what I have heard from older generations for so long is references to two points in time. The first is the pre-9/11 world. I hear people talk about a pre-9/11 world, a world where it was magical from what I hear. You could walk your friends to the gate at the airport. You know, you could apparently just leave your luggage anywhere you wanted and no one cared. And people, from what I hear, were en masse a lot nicer or a lot more patient or something like that. Think about the whole world that you experienced previous to 9/11 and understand that those of us who are this age voting now never experienced it for a day in our lives. So root yourself at that turning point when I talk about the fact that my generation also didn't get to experience this other really important historical landmark people talk about, which is 9/12. I hear a lot of people older than me speak about this day of national unity, where in the wake of something so horrifying, a nation came together as one to take care of each other. And I get it. Not everybody did, and everyone has accounts. No, these people weren't helping, and people really were saying these crazy things. Sure, I'll take it. But I'll say this much. There has never been anything close to 9/12 after the historical, the world events that I've lived through, right? Does anyone else get that feeling? I remember when COVID started thinking like, oh, and when this lifts and all in one big motion, when we all return to social life all together at one CDC approved time, right? I remember thinking, oh, that will be like my generation's, you know, victory day. People are dipping their nurses in Times Square and kissing them and people are celebrating, or it'll be a day of national mourning where we all come together like 9/12. And I'll tell you what, none of it ever happened. Not for COVID, not for any of the other historical events. It has just been one thing after another since the day that we became conscious. And I know that's what every other generation before us went through too, but I have to leverage the idea to you, right? If you were a kid with the brain of a kid, meaning to say not fully developed, you know, everything is the end of the world. Come on, we all remember how that felt, right? You remember getting held in from recess felt like a life prison sentence because you had no scope, you had no distance. Now take that brain and start, you know, teaching it and formulating it and all these things in the public school system, you know, just as the entire world apparently turns over a new leaf and kind of goes crazy, right? The next big historical event for this generation that I just have to reference in case you're ever like, why don't Gen Z and Zillennials, these young people that I have to deal with, why are they so the way that they are about money, about the economy, about, you know, why are so many of them not Republicans who want to, you know, give all this money to stuff? Why? Well, okay, let me paint this picture for you. It's 2008. You were probably a fully formed adult who understood what words like bankrupted or recession meant. Or when you heard the name, you know, Sally Mae or whoever these other people were on the TV, you knew what they were and didn't think what I thought, which was they were some sort of evil villain who had taken over the U.S. economy and they were sinking it. But I was also thinking, as the 2008 recession rolled in and I was a child and my peers were children, I remember very distinctly when my dad lost his job, gathering up my littlest pet shop toys, because again, little kid, not a little kid, but small enough, right? And gathering up those dolls, gathering my Woody doll, the one from Toy Story. It was like, in my mind, it was the one right from the movie. Of course, it was a mass-produced version. But I remember gathering up these things that meant so much to me, my toys, my childhood toys, and bringing them to my mom and being like, well, we can sell these, because that'll, you know, stave off the inevitable after dad losing his job, which in my mind at that time was literal homelessness. Because I was a child coming into the world looking at something that people were comparing to the Great Depression, something that my grandma her parents had lived through, and she talked about walking with no socks and not having enough food to eat. And I'm going, all right, all right, all right. It's my turn to live through a horrible U.S. tragedy. It's my turn to live through a recession that will bankrupt us. And so I really did think we were going to get put in a cardboard box. And we didn't. It was close. We had to move to Wausau. Sorry, Wausau. I had to get one dig on you while I was here on air. but all of this I say, 9/11, 2008, and then rolling into the insanity that has been U.S. politics, if not forever, at the very least, we can all agree that 2015 and 2016 was a turning point, right? It was a turning point for the worse. Whether you like Trump or you don't, come on, who in their right mind has been happy? Politically speaking, maybe not personally. I'm sure many of you personally have experienced happiness. I sure hope so. But understand that the first time I got to, and the first time my peers got to, cast a vote ever, the first vote I ever cast was for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. That's the first time I entered U.S. civics as a citizen. You tell me if you think that there is genuinely any worse time, maybe other than the revolution itself, for a person, for a people, for a generation to jump into the workforce, jump into, you know, really caring about things. So call in or text, talk to me somehow, please. I want to hear from you. Is this how you felt when you were my age? Were you this scared of everything? Did you come into knowledge with equally horrific things? I don't ask these rhetorically. I ask these with earnestness. Earnesty, if you will. All right. Taking You to Break is a song by the Aces that I think levies a question I definitely had. This is Always Gets This Way by the Aces.
Physiological experiments and sacrilege in the name of public good. They taught me everything just like a daddy should. And you were beautiful and vulnerable and power and success. God's my fell for you, your flamethrowers, your tunnels and your tech. I studied code because I wanted to do something great like you. And the real tragedy is half of it was true. But we've been
welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. This is not Maggie Dawn, which is what you would expect from a show like this. I get that, but stay with me. This is her producer, Anya. And what you just heard is the song Rat by Penelope Scott, a song I've wanted to play on this program for a long time, but it's never fit in, despite it kind of being perfect. It's a song, if you didn't break it apart from that, it's a hate lover, that'd be funny, a hate letter to a generation raised on heroes like Elon Musk. And why do I play it right now? I play it because I think that's another really good point before we go into the bottom of this hour, where I'm going to start taking your texts and calls. And if you want to call, that's 844-967-2789. See how natural that was? You couldn't even tell it was a segue. But I think it's important to highlight, again, maybe not every time in human history has been like this, or maybe every time has been a little bit like this. But at the very least, I mean, we have to admit, if because of nothing else, then at least because of the internet, that the world is phenomenally different these past 25 years, and maybe more different than its previous generation, more so than any other two generations you could compare. I don't know. Maybe people who were alive when we switched from bronze to iron were like, guys, this is crazy. This is an insane time to be alive. Everything's moving so quick. Last week we were using these, I don't know, bronze shields, and now we have these iron swords. This is incredible. I can imagine that they kind of felt like this. Before we get into calls and texts, and do still please call and text, I have three folks on the line and a ton of texts coming in. Y'all are lighting it up today. I love that because I like that a little bit better than the calls. I can't lie. But I want to dispel two, maybe three more things before we go to the next break. Things that, I don't know, just when you hear, doesn't everyone get sick of hearing the same thing over and over and over and over again? If you have a unique last name with like an easy pun or something, or, you know, don't you get sick of always getting the same joke? And that same joke that I have gotten, that isn't even really a joke, are just these statements about this generation of like, Gen Z is lazy. Gen Z is entitled. Gen Z is all these things. And it's, you know, of course I can think of individual people who are Gen Z and are entitled or are whatever else you want to call them. But I have such a hard time sympathizing with the feeling that this generation is working any less than any other generation. I won't push it too hard. I won't push to this generation's working harder, because I don't know. This is my first time being alive. If I get to do it again, maybe I'll find out. But to look at this time in history, a time in history where so much that you wouldn't think could happen has happened, and to expect young people, and come on, you guys were young at some point. If you aren't still young in this very moment, would you have been going to work with a smile on your face and a big, big help and scoop of love for the company you worked for if you thought, and I mean this, genuinely thought, that climate change was going to end life as you know it? Would you have really cared so much about economic reforms that don't really speak to the problems at their core if you were raised in a world talking about global warming as something that would truly devastate and destroy the world? And here's the thing, it's not just like getting raised with the boogeyman where you're told if you go out after 9 p.m. on a weeknight, he's gonna get you, all right? Because I've never seen the boogeyman, and I've been out past 9 at night. But I have walked around and seen the effects of global warming. And I'm kind of scared that my childhood fears of, like, never getting to take my kids to the Florida Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one it is that's there, I'll never get to take them there if I even have them. Because Florida will be an underwater Atlantis by the time that they would be old enough, right? I didn't have to, or maybe you didn't have to, contend with this idea that things are falling apart at the rate that they were. And if you did have to contend with it, call me and talk about it. The other thing, before we go to break, that I want to touch on is very much this sense of, I don't know, this constant hum surrounding the topic of mental health in this generation. We talk about it too much. We don't talk about it enough. Everybody seems to have these things that no one in my generation had. Everyone seems to have these problems, everything in your life. And again, when I paint for you the picture of a generation of kids whose first like foray into civil politics and patriotism and all these things, their first foray into it wasn't the immediate aftermath of 9/11, and it certainly wasn't whatever world existed before that, but rather our entry into civics, our pace that we took getting into this, was the insanity that was unfolding in the time immediate after until now. With that in mind, does it start to make sense why we're not voting right? Or why some of us feel kind of disillusioned with voting at all? Taking You to the Break is a song kind of about the cheerful nihilism of it all. A song originally done by musical comedian Bo Burnham on his influential during COVID retrospective called Inside. But because we only play music by women, of course, this is a cover by Phoebe Bridgers, phenomenal modern singer on her own accord, but also a member of the group, it's escaping me, Boy Genius, there it is. And maybe there is no other song that brings to my heart the exact fears that I've described like this. Take a listen.
Carpool karaoke, Steve Aoki, Logan Paul. The gift shop at the gun range, a mass shooting at the mall.
to the government. This is my body. It's mine to decide what the fuck I can do with it. This is my body. My right to decide is my right to my freedom. This is my body. Yeah, yeah. Not just a body. Yeah. Oh, it's time to walk.
Welcome back. Just in case, you know, the vibe hadn't already been set. The vibe that this generation is bringing in to all these different pursuits, human rights, civil rights, all these things. There's a lot more to that song that I can't play on radio. That's all I'll say. In the meantime, I'm going to start taking your calls, your texts. There are so many texts, some long ones too. But first up is someone who's called in. Her name is Maggie, some sort of Maggie Dawn on this show. Are you there?
I sure am, Anya. You're doing great. And I think it is so, I couldn't be more, like, humbled to have you in particular, a woman, a young woman, representing for your generation and women so wonderfully. It's a blessing, and I'm humbled to share my show with you this afternoon. Keep doing what you're doing. I think it's that historical context that you're bringing to your generation's experience and the compare and contrast helps us all relate to each other a little bit better because we all have these different lived experiences. So thanks, Anya. Yeah, the government, my body is mine, and your voice is yours. Mm-hmm, keep doing it, girl. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. It feels weird to cut her off on her own show to press the hold button there, but I had to. Thank you, Maggie. You are an inspiration to me, and I hope all of this rambling eventually makes some sense. Oh my goodness, for the first time ever, we have all these full call lines. I'm going to have to just start screening people live, I think. So for just one second, I'm going to go ahead and read some of these texts. Troy from Mount Horeb, I bet you're going to be great today, Troy. I try to underpromise and overdeliver. Let me know if I'm doing it. Anastasia, what does a producer do? You did ask. Thank you, Andrew. A couple other texts, I can find my words in English, talking about how things have kind of always been this way. This is what I understood from history, but I am glad to hear you guys talk about it. And I really love this also from Andrew in Verona. New show idea, get all the young, put that in quotes, thanks, all the young civic media producers to do a show. I want to hear Anya, Nate, and Aaron criticize these old farts. If you do, you just have to get yourself an exclusive ticket to the weekly civic media producers roundtable. That, of course, is a joke, but no joke is Mark from the SAC. Mark, go ahead, give me your take, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the reference, the old Muppet Show reference to the two cynical guys, old guys sitting up in the balcony criticizing the show. I really appreciate that. But a little quote from the 4th century before the Common Era, young people are high-minded because they have not yet been humbled by life,
ooh,
nor they have experienced the force of circumstances. They think they know everything and are always quite sure about it. I mean, because I remember from history class hearing that, you know, people, the older generation has always been complaining about the younger generation. But I really appreciate what I see in the younger generation is that I think you guys are far more accepting of people that are different than previous generations. You see the fear that it is trying to be woken up about. You know, the latest thing is about trans people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that well, most people don't have any clue as what's going on. You know, how trans people can even exist.
Right.
You know, that not knowing the experiences that some people have. I read yesterday an account of an intersex young woman who was actually biologically a male but had the body of a female. She actually had testes that removed when she was a child because the advice the doctors had given to avoid testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. It was the best medical knowledge they had at that point in time. But she, you know, had all the external equipment of a female.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't quite grasp that is what happens, that
yeah,
biology is a heck of a lot more complicated than people like to think.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mark. I just have so many people in, but I want to speak to that. Yes, let's talk about it. First of all, no, you know, not everybody in my generation is super accepting of everyone. That's what always cracks me up when I hear this about how everyone in my generation is a social justice warrior. Everyone in my generation is, you know, constantly correcting everyone. No, guys, I can promise that not everyone is. I have to deal with them. So I can tell you that much. And to speak to these things, all of these, you know, I worry so much when I hear older people. I'm trying not to use the word boomer too much on this show today. I have a tally that I'm giving myself for that. But I worry when these opinions are being opined, when these statements are being stated about things like trans rights and intersex rights, I have to worry because do you guys know anybody? Are you speaking with trans and intersex people when you're developing these opinions? Because I am, and I know them as friends and as people, and it scares me to hear such things put forward without people knowing who they are. Thank you so much, Mark. I'll also say to that quote, I saw a string of quotes once that started with, maybe it was 2016, you know, all these kids are obsessed with their video games and blah, blah, blah. And it went through maybe every 50 years until we got back to the ancient Greek time, and it said, kids these days are obsessed with, what was it? Everyone's writing on their tablets instead of coming down to the fora. So it's never quite been easy to be the younger generation. But maybe this is the generation, this is the thesis of the show, I'm hoping by the time we get to the end, that this is the generation where we put aside some of those things and start working hand in hand or some kumbaya stuff like that. All right, Joanne, you are on air.
Yes, I was born in the city of Chicago at about the time that Mayor Richard J. Daley ruled it. It was ruled like a mob rather than a democratic organization, which has made me really shy about being fully involved in politics, knowing how badly it can go.
Mm-hmm.
Today's generation, the generation, younger generation, the generation, your generation that's navigating these student loans and all of that, I really applaud you. People have shouldered these burdens with incredible amount of strength, and I'm just hoping that the fact that we have hurt you by not fulfilling the promise of some student loan forgiveness, that $10,000 student loan forgiveness doesn't hurt you the way I was hurt in the city of Chicago way back and all
yeah.
of that. We're doing the best we can to get rid of those student loans, and I, as a university professor, try to do as much as I can, and let's hope that we can get that student loan forgiveness. So thank you so much. Great show.
Thank you, Joanne. Yeah, I'm hoping you can work on that pretty quickly because my first student loan payments for my life, I graduated, oh gosh, a year and three quarters ago now. My first student loan repayments pick up in about under a week when we roll over into October. So yeah, any haste on that, I would certainly appreciate, of course. Maybe you won't be able to get it fixed by then, but anything you can do helps. Thank you so much again, Joanne. Jean, you are on the air, my friend. What is going on?
Well, you are amazing on the air. Thank you so much for sharing. My thoughts are of you people, because now I'm one of them old folks, and I'm going to be 69 soon. And all I've been thinking about as I've watched what's been going on in our country and in our world is, what about the young people? When I've watched, you know, the pandemic and the streets in all the countries were bare, and I thought, what is this doing to our kids mm-hmm. and young people? What, you know, and to watch the fraud and abuse and the activities toward young women,
mm-hmm.
and I've just been bristling because, yeah, maybe we had stuff going on, but it's nothing like what you guys are dealing with, and I appreciate you sharing your feelings, sharing the world from your eyes, because I think that will help a lot of people and all of us understand and how we can help, too. So thank you so much. You're doing an outstanding job. Very great with your verbal skills to explain things. Thank you so much, and please keep it up. And I hope Maggie puts you on some more. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jean. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And thank you. Yeah, once my parents taught me how to talk at like 2 or 3 or whatever it was, they couldn't get me to stop. And now I've somehow started a career out of it. I don't know. We'll see how far it goes. But thank you again, Jean. All right, these are some callers now that I didn't get to screen when we were off the air, and I don't want to leave you with dead air. So when I say hello there, you yell hello back, and if you hear your voice on the radio, I'm talking to you. Hello there. Who is this?
Hi, this is Nate. Am I up?
That's you, Nate. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, so you're doing a great job. Your confidence is really impressive, yeah. Because I can imagine it'd be nerve-wracking as heck, you know, having a voice in front of so many people. Well, maybe, you know, 36 that are listening, who knows.
Oh, yeah.
But I think your generation is called the apocalennial generation.
Mm.
And it's the first generation that can't take for granted that things are always going to get better, because mm-hmm. as we've seen over the last 6 years, you know, we're going backwards, and people just assume that society is always going to progress forward in a progressive manner, and it's just not the case. And
right.
and unfortunately, it's up to your generation to try to put things in, like age limits for politicians. I think it should be 75, because these, you know, Dianne Feinstein and Mitch McConnell, these guys don't have any dog in the fight. They don't care if the planet's going to burn up in 10 years.
Right.
And we need to start getting more youth involved in decision making, because the older generations, I'm 60, so I'm part of the like tail end of the baby boomers, and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I went to school in Madison and stuff like that, but so I'm a little more progressive than most of my friends, but it's really imperative that the people that think that things are going to get better wake up and realize that everyone's got to get oar in the water and start helping out. And one of the things that I've been doing is calling the Justice Department and my senators and trying to encourage Biden to get someone in the Justice Department that'll do something. Merrick Garland does not want to do anything. He's mostly a Republican. He's Orrin Hatch's favorite pick. And we've got to get systems in place that can deal with seditionists and people that are, you know, trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, I agree. Nate, I'm sorry to cut you off too, my friend, but thank you for stating it. Yeah, this idea that progressiveness, that the progress that we are progressing down will always be in a forward direction is not a guarantee that my generation has had. In fact, I really want to push this point before I go on and take just a couple more callers before we end the segment. I think it's important to know that when I reached out to my friends about this and I said, look, pretend I'm putting a microphone in your face and imagine you could yell one radio safe sentence at a mostly 60 to somewhere up above their age range audience. So many of them, the sentence that they wanted to yell was, do you guys understand we're not having kids because of global warming? Do you understand that we're not buying homes in certain places because of global warming? When you were thinking about the direction you wanted to send your life down as far as spouses and kids and all of these things, was the heat death of the universe one of your considerations? Or was it maybe what schools were in that district? All right, going again with this game, I'm going to say, who is this? And if you hear your voice on the radio, you're the one talking. Who is this? Hello.
Joe, is that good enough?
Yep, there we go. Joe, go ahead. You're on the air.
Great. I agree with Maggie. You're kicking it. And your perspective and your thoughts and your freshness and your creativity are just bursting through. I have a million questions for you. And what that says to me is that you need to get yourself in front of the mic more often.
I'm trying.
Because on a regular basis, however it works for you, because you clearly have things to say and a thoughtful way to do it. I think the callers have told you that they're highly impressed with what you have. And so my biggest, I could go on and on to ask you questions, but I feel like this is just the start. And boy, oh boy, keep it going. This is really good stuff on you. And I really want to hear it. And clearly the other callers feel the same. And just your last comments where you said, our thoughts are, what school district, but what planet, you know?
That's right. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're about to go to break. Come back with us on the other side of this. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, taken over by her producer, Anya. Bye. See ya. She is a- of those things. I am a Polish girl in America named Anya, and I'm not Maggie Dawn, but this is the Maggie Dawn Show, coming back at you for the last section of this producer-helmed episode. Very strange time, believe me, for everyone involved, especially the hosts for your next show, Raised in Wisco, who wandered in just to kind of stare at me while I was doing this. It was super fun and not creepy at all, guys. I love it. Can't hear you right now. I'm loving it. All right. Anyways, I've got two civic media kind of superstars on the line. I'm a little bit afraid to press this button here, but it does feel kind of like a radio host baptism to say, CJ, you are on the line. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, Anya, I've always been kind and considerate to
you. Have,
haven't
you
I?
Have.
Yes. And you've done a wonderful job tonight, I might add. You know, I've got four daughters, and they're all probably about your age or somewhere in that vicinity. And I think some of the misinformation, and I guess sometimes I come across as very aggressive and angry, I guess, because sometimes I only get about one sentence maybe out. But I would like to have an ongoing discussion with you about conservatism.
Okay.
And I would love to hear your positions on progressiveness or, you know, what you believe your party supports.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm just offering that up because really, as you heard, many times, and sometimes she takes my call and sometimes she doesn't, like many of the hosts. If they're not answering CJ, then they're not picking up because I'm calling, and most of the hosts sometimes pick up. But again, thank you for taking my call. I thought you did a spectacular job. Again, I'd like to have long discussions with you.
Sure.
Because I believe the misrepresentation of what conservatives and Republicans or libertarians, which I used to be, now I am a Republican. And Todd Alba helped decide that. But anyways, I wanted to congratulate you. I thought you did a great job, and I'm not going to argue with you tonight.
That is an exciting statement. Thank you, CJ. I apologize for cutting you off, but that is one of the unique struggles maybe that timed radio provides, is this ongoing conversation. I'll answer some of these things shortly before I roll into my closing stuff and take one more caller here. But, you know, what you said is interesting and rolls into this, as you said, what your party. And it's tough for me to answer that because I, like I think many people my age, don't have or don't feel they have a party. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm writing names in necessarily. That doesn't mean that I'm not voting. But when I tell you that I'm even a little bit further left than what some of the Democrats and liberals are doing, it's hard for me as an American, right, to feel like I have a party. But when I thought about how I wanted to write this show, or not write it, but structure it, and what topic I wanted it to be, and we started by saying, right, my job here is to listen to old farts talk about what moves the youth vote, and then never turn and ask the youths. This exact statement from CJ, which I think is a fine statement to make, highlights where I want to go with this, which is I could have talked about an infinite number of Gen Z viewpoints on this show. But every time I got hung up on this feeling of like, I can't speak for everyone, and I wasn't getting the amount of replies that I needed to feel like I had a good synthesis of what everyone was feeling. So today's show, the youth vote, the point at the end of all of this is that we need to be, or sorry, I'm going to rephrase this. You guys who are listening, who are older, need to do this. You need to be asking questions of the younger generation. Don't start with, what does your party think? Look, I'm not a lawyer, but I did mock trial and I know what a leading question is, right? You can't start with, tell me what your party thinks. I really want to encourage the older generation to just back up just a little bit and start with, what party are you? Back up a little further. Are you in a, do you see yourself as a member of a party? Because when we talk about these huge topics and these things I want to cover in my 40 some minutes on air, right? There's no way I could cover that in this time when I'm the only one talking to you about it. I need you to find other people who are like me, my age, my stuff. You said you have daughters. Ask them and their friends. I will cover this if they ever let me back on the air again, right? As we go on. But, you know, the whole thesis of this, the whole point is, I feel like my generation gets asked less questions of people. Kids younger than us still get like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's like, I'm 24 and I still want you to ask me that a little bit, right? And I see the value of asking older folks questions about their life and their times. I just kind of hope maybe we can try to make that a two-way street. Bringing his energy, I'm sure, as always, is my last civic media superstar with 2 minutes left. Rico from Rock County, how are you doing, my man?
Hey, there how it is. You doing?
There's good. That laugh I was hoping
there
for.
There we go. Yeah, we all have that laugh. Hey,
yeah.
I can't believe they stuck you in against the Brewers winning the division and another beautiful win tonight. And Maggie stuck you in against the Packers Lions kickoff.
Yep, yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Only it's winners on this hour.
Now you gotta endure long conversations with CJ.
I'm surviving,
Lord, girl,
Rico.
I gotta tell you, Anya. I stepped outside because I had to give your just due. I knew they were throwing you to the Lions tonight,
mm-hmm.
And you are a natural, girl. You are a natural.
Thank
you don't
you,
need
Rico.
To be running and producing the show. I'm serious. I'm serious on you. Hey, you don't need to be running the show. You are the show. That's all I got to say, girl. You got this. You got this. Just be yourself. You're doing great. And you know what, CJ? You get more time on this network than anybody. What are you talking about? Quit your whining.
I'm going to cut it off there so I have a chance to end things. Thanks, Rico. Seriously, thank you, everybody who's listening. Thank you, Maggie, for trusting me with your hour. As we leave, I'm going to leave you with this song from Sidney Gish that kind of once again highlights how maybe my generation, I don't know, just feels about everything. When we talk about growing up and making money and talk about getting rich, we're not talking about being kings and queens, people. We're just talking about not being serfs. This is Homecoming Surf by Sidney Gish.
To smoke cigs and weed despite the surgeon's warning. I'll eat LSD soaked mini wheats and white Russians for breakfast every morning. I love vacation days. It's a blacked out haze. I'm in this cul-de-sac. It's coming back, 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 back. Who cares if we're obscure? Homecoming surf. I know this quiet life is to her, but now we're dancing around and laughing.